Welcome to Penikai Neighbourhood Church Weekly Podcast. To find out more about us, or to listen to other podcasts, please explore our website, nazarene.co.uk.
This morning, I don't want to talk too long. It's a breakfast service, and I'll try and keep it short and sweet. So, the passage that I'm going to use for the base of what we're talking about this morning is only two verses. It's John 3. Verses 16 and 17. Two verses. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. And this is the verse. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn it, but to save it. For those of you who weren't here last week, where were you? We looked at a passage from the Gospel of Luke in chapter 7 where Jesus was invited to dinner at a Pharisee's house called Simon. Well, the house wasn't called Simon, the Pharisee was called Simon. He was there for dinner. And while he was there for dinner, they were interrupted by a woman who anointed Jesus' feet and washed his feet. And we looked at that passage. What I'd like to do this morning is look at a verse that sort of ties into verse 17 there from Luke 7, verse 39, where it says this. Simon said, "If this man was even a prophet, he would know who was touching him and what kind of woman that is, that she is a sinner." In chapter 17, in verse 17 of John chapter 3, it tells us that God did not send his Son into the world to condemn it or judge it. But here, Simon is taking the first opportunity he gets to judge, to label, to put the tag on someone because she doesn't fit in. He gives her a tag that lumps her in with a whole group of people that were that people didn't like at that time. In first century Jerusalem or in that area, that would have ranged from women in general, especially women who sinned a lot, and to the sick, to the poor, to the Romans, to the Samaritans, people who would have been existing on the fringes of society, people who would have been judged as broken and not fitting into the norm or conform to what the Pharisees thought was the ideal. So I want to look at that judgment of Simon this morning in the light of a couple of stories that I've got. The first one results comes about a little community in Paraguay that's literally located in a landfill site. More than 15 metric tons of rubbish is dumped in this site every day, and broken and discarded rubbish is piled up everywhere, and that is the home for a number of people. They live in a landfill site. We were talking last week about the smell or the aroma that would have been in Simon's house after the perfume was spilt. But you can imagine a stench in this landfill where you've got decomposing rubbish and trash surrounding the community. But this community in Paraguay was home to over 100 residents which scratched out a living by digging through the rubbish, looking for something that could be recycled and sold. But this community is now known for something other than landfill. Something you'd never guess unless you'd been on the internet and been on YouTube. This community is known for having an amazing orchestra. Not your average big city philharmonic with Stradivarius violins and grand pianos. It's more of a children's orchestra in which all the players live in the slums, there, right in the landfill. It all began back when a young professional musician called Fabio Chavez happened to come for a visit. He was horrified by the living conditions he saw and that no one did anything about it. So he announced he was opening a small music school. Before long, he was surrounded by eager, willing candidates. They were ready to learn, but they had no instruments. Chavez had some ideas about that too. He met with a trash picker called Nicholas Gomez, who could find almost anything in the mounds of garbage. "I want you to look for some special kind of trash," he told Nicholas. "Bring me anything we could recycle into an instrument." Well, they made a cello from an oil can and old cooking tools, a flute from tiny cans, a drum set from old x-rays as the skins, a violin from a beat-up aluminium salad bowl and strings tuned with forks. It is now known as the Landfill Harmonic. Just to show you can have a sense of humour when you're in the trash's dump. He is an orchestra made of kids from a junkyard playing with instruments built of refuse and trash. We live in a throwaway culture. If it's broke, we discard it, we replace it. By calling this woman a sinner, Simon was saying she was broken, she was to be discarded. And in his head, she had been consigned to the rubbish heap. In his head, she was broke, so we're going to bin her. He saw someone, who was never going to change and was always going to be that way. But Jesus saw potential. Jesus did not condemn her. And just like this woman, Jesus sees potential in us. He knows what we have been and sees what we can become. You may feel broke this morning and feel like your life is feel like you're surrounded by rubbish and you're in the middle of a landfill site. You may feel your heart is a landfill. But God is the God of recycling. And the news for us this morning is that Jesus is putting his own orchestra together. And he wants to know if you want to be an instrument. We sang in this last song, "So Take Me As You Find Me, All My Faults and Failures." And I mentioned last week that we generally think that if people really knew us as we were, they wouldn't accept us. Or if God really knew us, he would not be interested in recycling us. We think we need to be fixed so that God will be interested in us. We buy into the idea that we can do some work ourselves and fix ourselves. We've decided that the way we lived our lives yesterday, last week, or last year makes us damaged goods. And until we start to live right, start fixing ourselves, we're not God material. We convince ourselves that until we achieve that, Jesus won't have anything to do with us. But the opposite is true. In the New Testament, we're told that Jesus is attracted to the unattractive, the lost over the found, the losers over the winners, the messy over the unmessy, and the broken over the whole. The question this morning is whether or not we are willing to let our breaks, our brokenness, and our cracks show. I've just admitted that I'm running around a hotel in my boxer shorts. As I mentioned, some of us think that it's unthinkable that we share those things. We want to fix ourselves. We want to airbrush like they do in the magazines, airbrush any mistakes or flaws or scars away. I found this this little passage, and it gives an interesting take on how God looks at our brokenness. In Japan, there is a ceramic restoration process called, and apologies for the pronunciation, Kintsugi. Thank you very much. So you probably know what I'm about to say. For those of you who don't know, it's where broken ceramic plate pieces are sealed together, but instead of hiding the cracks are boldly highlighted and traced over with gold. Normally, anything that was broken, we would throw into a landfill. And generally, refurbished stuff sells for a lot less, but not this kind of pottery. Most often, the ceramic piece actually turns out to be more beautiful and more valuable than before it was broken. In fact, many collectors have been accused of deliberately breaking things so they could make a hole make it all with gold and make more money. That's what God has for us. Our brokenness can be put together with heaven's gold. If you Google kintsugi on the internet, one website called it the art of precious scars. And I think when we allow God to heal us of our brokenness, our scars do become precious. In closing, I just wanted to bring something to your attention that maybe you weren't aware of. I wasn't particularly aware of it, I have to say. But if you read through the Gospels and listen to what Jesus has to say, you will never find a place where Jesus looks at a person and says, "You are a sinner." Yes, Jesus deals with sin harshly, but he doesn't go all around labelling people as sinners. But what he does call them is daughter, son, child. This is how Jesus looks at you when he sees you this morning. He doesn't see you as sinners. He sees us as his children. He sees us as his... as kintsugi, or whatever. Sorry, you can probably pronounce it better than me. But that's how Jesus sees us this morning. And as I said, I don't want to speak too long, and I've tried to condense it as much as I can. But I want you to go away thinking about that pottery and that brokenness and the healing that comes from the cross, that gold has been bought on the cross for us, and that's available to us this morning. No judgment. Verse 17, could you put verse 17 up again, Johan, please? God did not send his son into the world to condemn it. There's no judgment this morning. Just healing for brokenness. Recycling. I remember speaking at a renewal of vows a few years ago, and that was the theme. God is the king of recycling. Not like when you go down to the one by Plasmatic, they say 66% has been recycled this week or this month. God recycles 100% when he's given the opportunity to recycle. And he says to us this morning, "I'm putting an orchestra together. Do you want to be part of it? If you do, it's time to strike up the band." We've sang our closing hymn. That's communication for you. That's communication. I don't know if we can sing it again, because Jesus is mighty to save. And I think it's important that we go from here knowing that today he rose and conquered the grave. That's not just something we sing in a verse or just sort of nice creative lyric writing. It's fact. So if you are feeling that society has benched you, that you feel unworthy and God isn't going to be interested if he knows what you've been up to in the past. I'm just having this vision of him looking down at me running down the corridor now. God didn't send his son in to condemn the world. He sent him to save it. And whoever believes in him will be saved.